All right, I'd like to pass her over some of the various levels of Kanaka and sort of peel it apart little by little so the various inyonim become clearer as we go through it on different levels. Each one of these levels is itself a usable and correct machshava, I believe, but it doesn't. None of them answer all of the kashas that need to be answered. And of course, being it's only a brief chazara, I'm not going to go into the mode of derivation. I'm just saying over the nekudas and how they explain some of the basic inyonim of Chanukah. Okay. Yes, sir.
I just like to suggest, because those people aren't used to these shows, Rebbe could say, like,
there was a stone over it.
Yeah, it was totally sealed. I guess when he came, he must have come.
I told you that. He told me. He covered it.
He just, but I was...
Okay, are we ready to go? The first important point in Hanukkah. Gentlemen, I'm just going to do a chazorah because it's very late and we'll have another time to meet. Yes, Mom?
Steve paid me to stall for that.
Yeah, I know.
Is your bios
going to come? Okay, the most important nekuda, I think, in understanding Chanukah is to recognize that it has an avoda which is all its own, just like every Chag has an avoda which is its own, and the avoda is always defined in each particular yom tov. The avoda is defined as that which the Chag gave us. In other words, if on Shavuos it's the Chag of Matan Torah Senu, so then the avoda becomes the reconditioning ourselves to be zocha once again to go through the various modes of thought and commitment and that make us be able to be Mekabel Torah once again. If on Pesach we're Yotze L'Cherus, then each and every Pesach gives us the opportunity to once again experience the Inyonim of Cherus, which is why we have a Seder and we do all the things that lead us to experience once again Chayavon Amiras HaZatzmo Kivu HuYotzah Mitzrayim. So the Avoda that we do is parallel to that which we get out of the Chag. Now it happens to be that on Chanukah there's a particular avoda that on first sight doesn't appear to be related directly to Chanukah, and that is, it says that Kovu Shmonis Yemei Chanukah Eilu Mahodos LaHalel, that Chazal were Koveya, Bnei Bina were Koveya these days specifically for Hoda'ah and Halel, for thanks and for giving praise. Now, thanks and giving praise is something which is similar to all Yom Tovim, the foreigners. There is a chiyuv of Hallel on every single Yom Tov. And it doesn't seem to be something that would be particularly Chanukah-like. However, since in this case we're told that this was the entire purpose and the entire avoda of the Yom Tov, it would seem that the inyan of Lahodot L'Hallel as relates to Chanukah is much different than how it relates to the other Chagim. And it's clear that this is true from a number of very objective points. Number one, on the other Yomim Tovim, we don't necessarily have a Chiyuv even of constant Hallel, say on Pesach. Although there is a Mitzvah Hallel, there's no Mitzvah Hallel except for one day. The Hallel that is associated with the other Yomim Tovim is associated specifically with the change that is involved in Yom Tov. So that if you have different Korbanot Musaf on Sukkot, you say Hallel at each particular time because you have something different in each aspect of in the aspect of each day. But as far as the day, as Yom Tov itself being defined as a time to be Laudot L'Hallel, that clearly isn't true because on Pesach we don't say Hallel. I mean, we say, of course, the Chatzi Hallel, but that's only minhag of the Yom. It's not really a chiyuv. That's why we skip. The biggest raya, perhaps, is that you would expect that to find the chiyuvim of Hallel, the halachos of Hallel, if you're coming to find out what the din is of Gabi Hallel, you would expect to find the mitzvahs of Hallel in Hilchot Tumah, perhaps in Hilchot Yom Tov, but actually Hilchot Hallel are part of Hilchot Chanukah. As if the Rambam was the Godol Mesader HaHalacha, in the sense of the logical placement of each thing where it belongs, was Koveya, all of the Dinim of Hallel within Hilchot Chanukah, and not inside Hilchot Tevilah, not inside Hilchot Yuntov, which indicates that the idea of Hallel is not simply something that you do on Chanukah. It is the very definition of what Chanukah is. Hallel is to Chanukah what Cherus is to Pesach, or what Kabbalah Zatorah is to Shavuos. Which means that for some reason, the idea of being able to be Mahallel, being able to be Modeh, is something that we learn in Chanukah. And it defines to us what the Avodah of Chanukah is. Therefore, any explanation and any insights into what it is that we're supposed to be thinking of in Chanukah and how it is we're to be changing ourselves needs to take into consideration that point, needs to explain why it is that this should be something that is particularly Chanukah-oriented and should lead us to the understandings that bring us Nodot to Hava. That's number one. Number two, we have to realize also that Chanukah was a time of Nitzachon Tor Shebaal Peh. It was historically a time of great argument within Klal Yisrael between those who would accept only the Torah Shebichtav. And as far as the lifestyle was concerned, they were Mityavnim, and perfectly willing and indeed eager to accept the lifestyle of the Greeks. They saw no contradiction necessarily between Torah as it was given Bichtav and that lifestyle, but they saw impossible contradiction in the acceptance of Das Torah and the acceptance of Torah Shebaal Peh and the ability to be Hellenistic. And so, the menorah, as we know, is misamel, it symbolizes the or of Torah. And one of the reasons for this is because, of course, the results were that the Purushim were menatzchim, that those who accepted Torah Shebaal Peh, who rejected the ideas of Hellenism, were the ones who were menatzeach. They were zeidim biados ketor asecha. And because of that, it becomes the Dorot, the basis of our relationship or ability to maintain our relationship to Torah Shebaal Peh.
How does this fit with people, the Zohar, the upright, people, the Zohar, the Zohar?
Well, the outright of an Zohar, it was also a Shituf kind of idea, rather than, there's even a Shiloh was an offer to Chayev on Shituf.
Is that why he didn't base the English without destroying it? Or what kind of sense?
It would make a lot of sense that it was specifically done in the base of English. It wasn't meant to be a chilul as much as it was a modernization. It would make a lot of sense. Because after all, the Greeks were extremely tolerant, and they wanted the absorption of the cultures that they were sholeit over. And probably they had no objections to taking whatever they could. I mean, certainly historically speaking, they took a great deal, it would appear, from the Jews. But probably even in terms of the Derech Avodah, they were more than willing to absorb. But, I mean, once again, historically speaking, they also there was a sizable group that accepted this as being a modernization and a reform of Judaism rather than an outright attack on it. That was part of the idea here, that those that were fighting the Greeks were actually fighting fellow Jews. So that's the second thing that needs to be taken into consideration. It's in what sense does our dveikus to Chanukah give us a dveikus to Torah Shebaal Peh, and in what sense does the Inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh relate to the Avodah of Chanukah per se, which is the Avodah of Hallel. Another thing that needs to be taken into consideration is the Inyan of Chinuch itself. If we call the name of the Chag Chanukah, then undoubtedly chinuch is a central issue, not just one of the things that happened. And it's true that one of the things that happened is that there was a rededication of the Mizbeach, but surely that's no reason to call the holiday that which is the least important part of what happened. I mean, and if there hadn't been the need for a rededication of the Mizbeach, if the Yevonim hadn't been Mishakeitz to Mizbeach, would that have changed the idea of the victory? Would that have changed the idea of the Nes HaShemen? So we call the Yontav Al Shem Arfino. Why? What's more is that we know that Chazal say that the Mishkan, all the way back in the Midbar, was finished on Chofei B'Kislev, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want there to be a Chanukas HaMishkan until the Chodesh that Yitzchak was Ne'elad Bo, and was Matiach the Kislev, that eventually there will be a Chinuch in Chodesh Kislev, as Chodesh Kislev felt there should be, because the Mishkan, after all, was completed at that time. So that means that what we're viewing over here is a historical completion, in a sense. In other words, the idea of the Chanukah Samizbeach, who takes place on Hanukkah, is, even from the historical perspective, besides the question of why it should be, is something that is central to the idea of Hanukkah. So it's not just its name that points out that the Chanukah Samizbeach is central. It's the history of the development of the Mishkan. If the Mishkan, as it was originally conceived, reaches its fruition, and it was told that it would reach its fruition on Chofei B'Kislev thousands of years later, generations and generations later, then that means that the aspect of the Chanukah Samizbeach that's there is very central to the idea of the Chag, because the only time, the only remez really that we have for Hanukkah are remezim that relate to the Mishkan itself. So that means that historically speaking, it's the Mishkan, or the aspect of Mikdash, that is involved in Hanukkah that is important. And historically speaking, the Nes HaShemen is not important, and the Nitzachon HaShemen, or the Nitzachon of the Kohanim, is not as important, or not as many remezim to the Inyonim of Hanukkah in those things. That too needs to be taken into consideration.
And the completion of Aaron's role.
Well, that's Mishkan. That's one of the remezim in the Mishkan. The Mahalos Chad HaNerot. The other thing that's involved in the Hanukkah, of course, is what modern Israel seeks to find in Hanukkah, being as it seems to be parave enough and not smacking of any religious orientation, and that is that it's Chag HaOrim, whatever that's supposed to mean. But it certainly is an important nekuda in Hanukkah, is that for some reason the semel, the symbol of the Zman, of the Kedushas HaZman, is light. Or, and any explanation of Hanukkah needs to take into consideration the relationship of Or to Torah, which is so hard to find in Torah Or, and to the idea of Hodah and Havel, and to the idea of Chinuch. So bearing in mind those essential issues, and there are some more, as we will see, bearing in mind those essential issues, let us attempt to dissect Hanukkah on first the most basic and clear-cut levels, and then, without losing sight of those basic and very nogeadic levels, try to see it in ways that are a little bit more complex. Do you want to say something?
We had four so far, four things?
Yes, we had Hoda'ah and Hallel, and we had the union of Or, and we had the union of the Chinuch and the Mishkan, and we had the union of Torah Shabbat Peh. It's calling those four basic issues. I mean, there are more, except that some of the levels that we'll discuss don't begin to touch on them, and so I don't want to bring them up as basic, even though they are. I mean, to point out one, I mean, Hod, as opposed to Hoda'ah, is a very central issue in Hanukkah. Whereas if Alpi Kabbalah, the union of the Chag, is Hod, and that's how it relates to Aaron, I don't want to bring it up. It's not basic. It's not nicker enough to anyone. So I wouldn't call it as basic, just to be honest. Kanaan. Beg your pardon?
Kanaan.
But it's not recognized as basic an issue. That's why I say there are a number of things which we'll see we'll bring up and deal with them as
they don't necessarily have to stem to these four. They can be independent, or they're all going
to I think all of these interrelate. I don't think that we...
But they don't necessarily stem.
I don't know. It's too complicated a term, so I don't know. So let's take the first level, the most direct and understandable meaning of chronic. In that sense, we view Chanukah as a kedushas as man that resulted from the victory over Yavan. And over here, we will view Yavan in a rather simplistic way. But I think this is the way that most people view the interaction and the argument between Yavan and Yisrael. And that is that Yavan is seen as the power of philosophy and humanity being paramount. And because of this, there is a rejection on their part of any sense of real connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bria is taken seriously as is, and all of that which is meant to be important in their eyes is that man can find truth through the power of his mind, through the power of his philosophy, through the power of his analysis. And we owe a great deal of modern Western culture to that basic assumption. And that it's Yisrael who, through the recognition that everything that they do is based only on the meaning that can be attributed to it because of its Yivui Hashem, are in a sense the antithesis of Yavan. They're the antithesis because they too are committed to the value of the Kayach of Chochmah, of the ability to see, which is how it relates to Or. The philosophy is Or, Or is Chochmah. As a matter of fact, the symbol of Greece is the olive, just as the Shemen is for Yisrael, because that's the idea of light. And light is always a symbol of understanding in all cultures. So that the light of Yisrael becomes now a very important idea, in that it's the antithesis of the light of Yavan, even though it's so similar, because you have Yavan finding the understanding in humanity and in the power of pure mind, whereas Klal Yisrael says that those things are useful as kalim, they're useful as means, but they are not the definitions of what they can be based on. It needs to be based on the Tzivuyei Hashem and on a recognition that what it is that we do, from thinking to war, is predicated on the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our actions, and that at the moment that we're not makir this, we actually are cutting ourselves off from relationship to reality, and we have no longer any meaning in our life. And in that sense, the Torah Sheba'al Peh is really the same idea, because what Torah Sheba'al Peh says is that in the same way that the Nitzachon itself said it, in other words, that we're willing to go out and take on impossible odds because of our recognition always that the Nitzachon ultimately is not a Nitzachon of power, it's a Nitzachon of attempt, of utilizing the best that we have, but of making it dependent and predicated on the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Olam, which is why Hoda'ah and Hallel is the opposite of everything that Yavan stands for. It's in Yavan's point of view, our success is a direct result of the Ishtatus that we put in. Our understanding is a direct result of, without any kind of prejudice, without any kind of givens, without any kind of hanachot, of assumptions, we can reach truth out of our own power. And it's possible to access the Nitzachon in war, the understanding of the world in philosophy, the recognition of the facts and science and everything that man can reach on a purely secular level without any recourse to Kedusha or things that go beyond what is there in the Bria on the surface. And it's in that sense that we say, no, if we are Menatzeach, we are Modeh and Mahalel. Because it's on that basis that we went into the war in the first place. We didn't look to see whether we had the might to be able to be Menatzeach, the strongest power on earth. It was Ravim B'Yad Ma'atim. And that same Ravim B'Yad Ma'atim is exactly the idea of Zaydin B'Yad Oskei Torah Secha. The willingness to go and fight a war, which is Ravim B'Yad Ma'atim, is exactly what we're willing to do with our being Moda and Mahalo. The recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and it's the same thing that we do with the Zaydin B'Yad Oskei Torah Secha. Zaydim in the sense of those who would go out to seek their own path when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Megala, the truth about the Bria, we say our power of mind is equal to yours, is as sophisticated as yours. But to us, if it isn't through the Hodah, and Hodah here is also the sense of being Moda, of accepting, I recognize that this is really the Mokar of everything that I have. If it isn't through the recognition, the Hodah, of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui on Har Sinai, that He gave us a Torah, on which we can base that which we think, and that is even more real than the facts that appear to our eyes, and that if we find something in the Torah, then we know that we are closer to the truth, that we are more deeply connected to the reality of the Bria, than we are if we see only that which is the externals. That's exactly the same idea of recognizing that war is not only a function of might. In other words, that the Bria is a gilui of deeper things that uses those things. So that, of course, you had to fight in order to get a Hanukkah. But it uses them only as kelim. And the internal, it means that we are more likely to take into consideration internal values of the thing. For instance, I mean, even on a psychological level, you could take into consideration the idea of my fighting within my own territory, whereas you're fighting in someone else's territory. These are things that are not necessarily quantifiable ideas. You're not able to put them into a magazine for strategic listings of balances. They don't figure in a balance in the level of strategic quantitative analysis of how many planes and how many tanks and so on. Nonetheless, everyone is Moda. These are real ideas. Motivation, morale, these are very important ideas in warfare. To Klal Yisrael, there are deeper ideas than that also that are involved in warfare. Yet, nobody's going to say that morale will win a war. Nobody will say that dedication to the ideal is going to win the war. Of course not. You still need to fight it. And that's exactly what we're saying. We agree with you that the Bria is real. However, the reality of the Bria is a reflection of certain internal realities that are even deeper, so that by having more dedication, our warfare is more real. Even though on a strategic level it appears to be exactly the same as it would have been without that dedication. So that what we're aiming to do is trying to find an or that is an indication of some kind of deeper internal reality, which nonetheless expresses itself in the Bria exactly the same way that Yavan views the Bria. So that it's a deeper and more basic, yet just as real appreciation of what Yavan appreciates, right? Because it too trusts in the development of the human mind, more so than Yavan does. Because it says, we can even use our minds to define reality as it actually is. Valraya, we can create Torah itself. We can give the insights into what God means, not only into what God has done. We can give insights into the why, not only into the how or into the what. So that we go beyond you, Yavan. And this is symbolized by the Hallel and Hodah.
Is nature or God? Is that what it is?
Is there God? I don't know what you mean by saying
that. They believe in nature. Is that true that they believe in nature?
I don't know what they believe. I mean, these are such loose terms. I mean, they believe in reality. I mean, believe. The reality is there. and you must take it as being given and real. Otherwise, I mean, otherwise you get lost in a void of words that doesn't. What does it mean?
Does that reality present a force that's what we would?
A supernatural force.
That in English we call God.
Yes, I think so, because Greek mythology seems to point to that. But we'll deal with that. You see, one of the problems with this view is that it takes a very limited view of Jovan, and it's not an accurate view of Lova. It's very convenient from a religious point of view, this view, this particular perspective of Hanukkah, because the issues that it deals with are very clear-cut and simple issues, which are certainly extremely true because they're so basic. But as far as saying that it requires a Zman of Hanukkah specifically to bring out these inyanim, I mean, this is the heft of what Yisrael always is. No, there's more to it than that. And remember that what we've done over here in order to make this palatable is we've reduced Yavan to a society of philosophy and humanism. I mean, where there's actually a great deal more to it than that. Nonetheless, this thought is clearly a true one. And it's clearly real. And it's certainly the most basic avodah that a person has to do with Hanukkah is to recognize that the Or, and in this sense the Or is Baramis to an Or Aganuz, we said. That's why the Or Aganuz was Mishamish for 36 hours. Right, because it was Mishamish for the 12 hours from Chatzos to the Brias Adam till through Shabbat, which was 26 hours that it was Mishamish for Adam. 36 hours it was Mishamish for Adam. This is connected the Lamed Vav Neros of Hanukkah. And the reason that it's connected the Aragonos is very clearly because it means that there is an internal light and an internal meaning in things, which is Megala itself through what the thing is. And that if one is sensitized and aware, then one uses these things in what one does. So although I'm doing the same battle that you're doing, my battle is that much more effective than your battle. So that where I'm doing the same thinking that you're doing, my thinking is that much more effective than your thinking. My thinking is Torah. Your thinking is nothing. It's based on whatever you happen to be feeling. My fighting is a yiskalus of the deepest connection that I have to what is right. Your fighting is a question of your honor and your needs, and so on. And as far as a person can go in Hanukkah, in the most basic acceptance of Hodah and Hallel, of recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and that what we do is real and meaningful, only insofar as it accesses that reality, and we are successful only insofar as we remain aware, and that's always what Or is, a level of awareness and understanding, then that avodah of Hanukkah is an avodah that leads him to the ability to be Moser Nefesh, which is where the Mesiras Nefesh and Bitochen comes in here. It leads him to sense that although this situation may appear to be hopeless, he fights with different tools. And it leads him to an overall sense of bitochen and an awareness and acceptance of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yerevan. And as such, is a very important and very accurate and very real description, certainly of a chelik of Hanukkah. And anybody who doesn't have that and attempts to take other things out of Hanukkah and certainly is missing the boat, because that's the most basic commitment that Hanukkah demands of you. You know, even on this level, I didn't read my notes carefully. So I'm going to point out that there was a fifth inyan that is involved in Chanuk always. You can adjust your earlier notes. But it's not that this inyan is more basic particularly than Hod or Kanoz. It's just that I can deal with it on every single level, so we might as well bring it up earlier, that's all. And that is the idea that Chanukah is merumas as a regel, al pi Kabbalah. In other words, the two Yomim Tovim, Chanukah and Purim, represent the two legs of a human being, or the two legs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's theoretical presence in the Olam. And as such, it's one of the things that needs defining. On this level, you could say that regel means that we have the capability to stand up and act, which is certainly the most basic thing that a regel gives you. When we tell a person, to stand up for what he fight, if what he believes, we mean that he has to be willing to fight, and that he has the wherewithal to fight. That there's a basis for what it is that he's believing. That it's kedai to be committed to. It's kedai to be moser nefesh for. And this is the most basic thing that Hanukkah gives a person. That instead of being wishy-washy or instead of being fearful, to recognize that that being as what you fight for is so meaningful, and being as the internal structure of the truth is something which expresses itself in the Bria overall, and even in your ability to win a war, that you can stand up and fight for what you believe. And in that sense, the chinuch aspect of Hanukkah also is related to it, because after all, chinuch means the commitment, the dedication of a thing. And by recognizing the depths of the internal connections to the external realities or the external practicalities, it's possible for us to go out and to be dedicated, because there's less of a mokum for fear or for sensing that the things that we believe in are not practical and they're not real and they don't express themselves in the Olam. All of this Hanukkah gives you a clear sense of reality and strength and firmness and decisiveness. So that's, well, let's call that level A. Level B broadens the idea of Yavan and takes into consideration actually the Torah's definition of Yavan, because what we've done so far is we've talked about Yavan in terms of Yavan's history. But there's also Yavan's destiny, and the destiny certainly shows itself in its history. As a matter of fact, if we take a look at that definition, we'll see that actually the other things that we've spoken about are mere facets of some deeper reality, which is Yavan, and it's to that that the Torah addresses itself. Because in our first meeting with Yavan, in the Torah, we're told of the bracha that Noah gives to Yefes. And it's that bracha which is the source of strength, and which brings itself out most of all in that epitome of Yefes' creativity, which is Yavan. And that is the bracha of Yavta Lukim LeYefes. In other words, the man who was called Yefet, which means beautiful, in Lashon Yafet, is given the bracha of Yaft. Yaft Elokim LeYafet means the beauty of God. That beauty which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria is Yefet's territory. It's what he will be working in. And even those things which we would have viewed as an intellectual and philosophical development, the most philosophical and intellectual development, language itself, the Chazal say, is a result of Yah, because we darshan that a Sefer Torah is kosher if it's Ksuvah Yavonis from Yah to Lekim LeYafes, which we say means Yah Yavuso Shal Yafes Yishkon Ba'al Hashem. The most beautiful of Yefet's creation, which is the Greek language, shall be part of the heritage of all Hashem. So that means that their Sefer Torah can dwell within our Batei Knesios and be kosher. And of course, this is the basis for the Beis HaMikdash that was essentially built by Yavan. The second Beis HaMikdash, in its most glorious form, was the Binyan of Hurdis that was essentially a Greek building. And this too is a Yavda Lakim Liapis idea. They will be Zocha to build a Beis HaMikdash. So, it seems that the Torah views the idea of Yafes not as an intellectual activity, but rather as an activity that grows from the sense of the aesthetic. And even the activity that is viewed on one level, on level A, as philosophical and intellectual, here the Torah is telling us that is an outgrowth of some kind of basic orientation that Yafes has to a sensitivity to the idea of aesthetics in the Bria. And obviously, a great part of Greek culture is dedicated to aesthetics. The idea of beauty overall, in terms of the human body, in terms of building, music, even philosophy, in a Greek sense, is part of man's search for the patterns which to him are beautiful in the Bria. The later ideas of the music of the spheres, the Pythagorean connections of arts to mathematics, and how the mathematics is to be viewed as an understanding of the patterns of things and so on. These are ideas that are essentially aesthetics, not intellectual. So that the dedication that Yovan actually has to the Bria is a sensual experience that they have of things, which leads them to taking the Bria in such a fashion that they must experience it more deeply by understanding it. In the same way that one's sensual appreciation is heightened by the depth of one's awareness overall, the same way that Kol HaGodol Mechavero Yitzur Godol Himeno, or that the Epicurean can relate more deeply to his food. And the more bikias that you have in a subject, the more deep is the sensual satisfaction from being osik in the subject. In that sense, what Yavan really is that umma which relates most deeply to the Bria, not which thinks most deeply about the Bria. So that what we would expect to find in the Nitzachon of Yisrael over Yavan is that aspect of Yisrael, not that outthinks Yavan, which is the way we were looking at it in level A, not that it's more aware than Yavan, in that sense the aura being awareness and the Torah Shebaal Peh being an intellectual exercise or the ability to express the Bria intelligently, but rather it would be that aspect of Klal Yisrael that can most sensually experience the Bria. Now on this level of Chanukah, we have to take into consideration the relationship of Yavan to Tzion, which we've pointed out many times, that Yavan, Tzion equals the same letters as Yavan, except with the addition of Tzadik. Now Tzadik is Yosef, who is always the semel in Kabbalah of Tzadik. And of course, Chanukah, which seems to be based on the idea of Chen, is exactly what the Midah of Yosef is, as we just learned in the Parshas. Wherever Yosef goes, he's Motzei Chen, Beinei Ro'av. And this same tzaddik is the man that goes out and experiences the Bria most fully. As a matter of fact, this is what his brothers, to a great extent, hold against him. There's too much involvement in things. He seems to enjoy things too much. His success and his narcissistic attitude about himself and his involvement in his own beauty and will allow him to be open to such dangers as do not befit someone that is claims to be able to be a Melech Yisrael. And ultimately, all of his success is a tremendous, almost sensual sensitivity to the feedback of a situation, all the way down to his sensitivity to the subconscious expressions that occur in the dreams that he's analyzing. These are ideas that are ideas revolving around sensitivity and relationship. And of course, the whole idea of tzaddik is the ability to handle relationships properly. And it was because of that that Yosef is mochiach his tzidkis, by his ability to properly maintain the relationship that he had with his Adon and with his Adon's wife. This is what turns him into the ultimate success that he must be. He becomes Yosef HaTzadik based on the ability to handle relationship. So now, instead of the question that we had before of the awareness and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam, and that would be keneged the gezerah. Remember that there were three gezerahs that Yavon was gozer. That would be keneged the gezerah against Shabbos at first level. Right? In other words, Shabbos means that deeper than the idea of the creativity that we're doing in the Bria, and deeper than the physical facts of the Bria and the ongoing nature of its development, is the reality that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that made that Bria. And that understanding forces you to withdraw and to allow yourself to simply be without doing that which it appears you are meant to do as part of your natural expression. Well, it was that Hallel V'Hodah was supposed to show was wrong, right? It was, and that would explain why it's so Mishkan-oriented too. Mishkan and Shabbos, they're both the same sugya. The recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the base of things is the idea of Korbanos, is the idea of Shabbos. Both of them are in Yonim of Malchus. I mean, I'm very, very, very oversimplified, but I mean, that's certainly true insofar as it goes. And this level is a completely different one. This is certainly one aspect of the Gzeirah against Mila. Because what Mila is a redefinition of relationships in terms that are responsive to something that is not what Yavon is looking for at all, which is just a natural expression of the human body and the human needs. This is certainly part of what Yavon was famous for. And in this sense, what we would expect to find in Chanukah is the Yizgalos of the Koach, of that Chelik of Klal Yisrael, that takes the Bria as seriously, and yet that remains somehow aware and connected in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that, a few things I wanted to throw over here.
It's again taking it more seriously.
All right, so that's why we would have Levi over here, because Levi as well becomes the one that's sensitive to beauty, right? Shevet Levi, with the Beit HaKohuna, with the Beis HaMikdash overall. The Leviat Chen, the idea of Leviya itself relates to Chen. And in this sense, the Mesiras Nefesh of Chanukah becomes of paramount importance, because as long as the sensuality that is experienced in the Bria is the primary concern, then the dangers of selfishness and involvement in oneself are overwhelming, which is exactly what the fear was for Yosef HaTzadik. However, if one is willing to be Moser Nefesh, then that means that one retains the value of Chen, which means that I keep myself entirely open to what it is that relationship with you means, even if it's loss of myself. So Mesiras Nefesh literally means the maintenance of Chen. If I'm willing to give up my life because of the needs that I see for you, and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want the Olam this way, and therefore I can give up my very life and all of my needs because this is the way that it has to be and it isn't worth living in any other way, then I have shown myself to be reliable and faithful and, what's more, open, which is essentially the idea of Chen. I am graceful in that I do not assert myself, I don't push myself into it, I don't enter into these relationships for me, rather I respond to the relationships that are there. And as such, the Mesiras Nefesh of Chanukah allows us to experience the Bria without the dangers without being nichshal in that which the Bria can blind us to. And so Mamela, on a deeper level, other than simply telling us that yes, you can win in war, and yes, you can seek the truth, and do it basing all that you do on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this level opens up the idea of Chanukah to a much more deep concept, which is an extension of the previous one. Yes, you can experience life and love and involvement and everything that a human being experiences from a much deeper point of view than a Greek ever could. Because its very meaning, just as the philosophical meaning in level A, was more real because of its expression of some internal reality, since I am based on something which is given to me as truth, here too, I know that since my dveikus to the tzivuyei Hashem is so total that it would result in mesiras nefesh if necessary, every time that I do something, I can do it with the openness and the reliability and the understanding that what I am is also an experience of something which is really not going to be limited by my own needs and desires. And the proof is that the moment that it was a violation of that relationship, my needs and desires would matter not at all, because I would go to the gallows for it, and I would give everything up for it. And this is Chaim. So in that sense, we would call it Chanukah, because it was the Yizgabrus of the idea of Chaim, as embodied in Yosef and Mila, and his willingness to be Moser Nefesh for that, to run away and to knowing the results, he left the baguette in her hand, didn't return in order not to be nichshal, and nonetheless there was nothing that was worth taking that chance for. That proved his reliability. That proved where his sensuality was really coming from. The chinuch of the Mishkan makes a lot of sense in this sense, because it's the marker of the relationship to the Bria, the Mishkan, after all. That's why the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash brought about a decreasing taste in Paris, Nitlo Tambia, incidentally, Venitna Labale Avera, the Gemara says, which is, in other words, the sensuality of reality is lessened when there's no real connection to reality, which is what the Mikdash is. It's the makom where one sacrifices life itself. It's the ongoing Mesiras Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an indication that that is the makor of our sensuality and our experiences. And when that is gone, then the only sensual experience that is left is the experience of Avera, rather than the experience of reality. Some light goes out from the Bria. That's why the Beis HaMikdash is called the Oro Shalola. And Baba Basra, who cover our Shalola. And that's why we find that the Yevanim said, is a very weird medrash, which makes so much sense on this level of understanding. It says that the medrash says that the Yevanim told Klal Yisrael, Kisvu lechem al keren hashor enonu chelek v'elokei Yisrael. Right on the horn of Ashur, that we have no chelek in Klal Yisrael, obviously referring to Yosef. It's ridiculous otherwise. So in other words, that which the power of that which seeks to take for himself, which is what the Ashur is, and that relates most fully with things, there is where we want you to say, we have no shaykhus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why in the Haftorah of Chanukah we have the perek that discusses Chen Chen La, because this becomes now the marker of Chanukah. That's the Remez Bechor Shoro, Hadar Lo. Hadar, of course, is Chanukah. Mahadrin Lo is Lamed Vav, which is connected the Neros of Chanukah. The whole Maisa with Yaakov and the Remozim to Chanukah in the Torah is Vayichan is Pnei Ha'ir, which comes in Shechem, which was the mark of Mechiras Yosef, which has to be the tikkun from Mechiras Yosef, and that all of the problems of Yosef and the brothers always take place in Shechem. The Chalukah Samalucha between Yosef and Yehuda takes place in Shechem. And that's why the Gemara says in Brochus that somebody who sees Chanina in a dream, or Yochanan in a dream, Nisei Nisim will happen to him, because these are all, there's the mocker of Nes is the hisgalus of the internal structure of the Bria that is a result of Chen. And that's why whenever you see anyone that has Chen in his name in a dream, you know that Nisei Nisim will be done for you. That's why we find by Rav Yochanan the whole sugya in Brochus where he's crying because of Hai Shufra, the Bola Ba'afra. It's the beauty per se that makes him cry, even more than the loss of life. It's the loss of beauty that is so destructive. That is, again, the union of Tzion. He's a Shufra because he's Mibneva. He's from the children of Yosef, is an expression of Yosef. So this is connected to Gzera on Mila specifically, because that was a Gzera on the nature of relationship. And so it was Yavan's attempt to define relationship in purely Yavan terms, which is that what you see is what you get, and that's exactly the opposite of Klal Yisrael's concept of relationship being the expression of something which goes beyond what you see or what you desire, and therefore is more real and can go much more deeply, even in terms of the sensual, than Yavan would ever be able to achieve. And this is why it says, Or Zorua Latzadik. In other words, the inyan of the Or, which is the Or Agonis that's Mizgala on Chanukah, is specifically Miyuchat to Tzadik, not to Talmud Chacham, which would have been the Mashmos of the first level. And that first level is true. I'm not saying that it isn't so. I mean, that's why the inyan of Harogil Bener, having the bond of Tamir Chachamim. These are certainly true points. However, there's much more to it than that. That's all that I'm saying. That on a deeper level, level A can be seen only as an expression of level B. Now, this in the same way that to Yavan, the philosophy was an expression of things that were essentially Yavan-like in the Yavt of Akim Yefes, so too in Klal Yisrael, our Chachma, our Torah, is an expression of that which is our most deep commitment to the reality of the Bria and our expression of it in every sense, and our experience of it in every sense. And therefore, the Torah now becomes the mode by which we make the things that we do relate to their inner structure. It's the place where the Or HaGanus is hidden. And that's why on this level, the Lamed Vav Neiros is connected Lamed Vav Masechtos that have the Pirush of Gemara on them. That's why you have 13 Pritzos that the Yevonim made in the Beis HaMikdash. It's connected to Yud Gimel Brisos that we have on Mila, and connected Yud Gimel Hishtach Avoyos, which are also the sense of acquiescence.
So the aspect of Isha lining in there because she was cussed in Erish Olam is more of Revel B than the...
Certainly.
But Isha lining in there in Erish Shabbos is because she put out the Erish Olam, so therefore she should light in there. So that's a little bit more this level.
Sure.
And also giving stuck to them and giving stuck in Erish Shabbos.
Why does that really happen?
I don't know, but Tzadik and stuck it.
Oh.
Okay. So Hordas now makes the Greek base of Mikdash, and it was also the Gemara says he was called the Nerush Olam, so now he should make it, and he's using the thing. But it's just interesting that he was the one who wiped out the Hashemanayim instead of being the Kassinim. I don't understand that. And he should have been building on the Hashemanayim, but he was also the one who wiped them out.
Yeah, well, if you want to do a Greek job, you have to worry about the Hashemanayim, but it's certainly Kosher that he was building on the Hashemanayim. Now, on this level, I would say that so then the Or HaGanus, the main aspect of the Or HaGanus and is the sense of connection. The Lamed Vav becomes the sense of connection, which is why it's also the way that we say lo. In other words, the union of something being your own is expressed by 36 in Hebrew, and so it's connectedness. Chinuch. On this level, the overall aspect of Chanukah, in other words, the abstraction of the idea of Chinuch, aside from the idea of the Chinuch of the Mishkan, particularly the Chinuch of the Mizbeach, which we just mentioned before as being the source of relationship to the Bria, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would now be the idea of moldability, In other words, the nar who is mischanech is only mischanech, and that's why the word chinuch comes from the word chen, because of the aspect of chen that it is. It's the moment that someone loses chen, he also loses his ability to be mischanech, because you can't accept anything without chen. Chen is an essential requirement for chinuch. The more grace, the more openness there is in the child, the more open-eyed, which is the symbol of chen in the Torah, in the ego, the more open-eyed the subject is, the more acceptance and the more ability to be molded that person has. The moment that you lose the chen and become a shor, then at that point it's already not mechunachable either. Now, on this level, we can already begin to think about the idea of the hod aspect of Chanukah, which is a sixth aspect that we didn't mention before in the listing. There is the idea that al pi Kabbalah, Chanukah is hod, just a mitzvah of Aaron HaKohen. And here already we start getting into the ideas of what, at least how hod relates to feet. Because over here we can see that when we're talking about feet, it's not only the ability to be committed, but it's also the ability to use the bria. In other words, you could stand up on your own feet because there's a lot of things that you could take. And now we could see that Chanukah begins to relate to money. Right? And this is Chazal's, the whole sense in Chazal of mamono shel adam, that it's ma'amidim lo al raglav, which is why the machlokas Yosef and the brothers gets translated into the machlokas of Korach v'adoso, and Korach v'adoso is based on the money that Yosef collected when he went down to Mitzrayim, the Gemara Mitzrayim says. Why, when Yehuda was selling Yosef, he said, ma'betza shana rogis achinu, which the Targum says, what are we going to make out of it if we sell him? I mean, we're not going to make any, if we don't sell him, we're not going to make any money if we kill him. And the sense of Chanukah being an outgrowth of the kniyah of Yaakov Avinu to Esav, in terms of his inability to make use of money. The pagam in the Gidanosha being a pagam specifically in terms of money. We can see now how just the beginnings of it. I mean, it will take deeper levels to be able to really express it. But you can already begin to see how the things which lie behind sensuality and experiencing the Bria, things like money, the supports upon which all the things that you're doing rests, how they now become an idea of Chanukah. Why Yaakov's going back for pachim ketanim suddenly becomes significant in terms of the pachim that exist, the pach hashemen, which is the marker for the nes. All right, so here, although it appears we have completely different explanations for why each of the inyanim of Chanukah appear, you can see that really they're outgrowths. Level A is really just an outgrowth and a specific part of a more total picture. Now, there were two additional sub categories or sub levels of understanding, both of which still deal with Chanukah on the basis of Yohan's Gzeira against Mila. But I'll address them as separate levels, even though they're not completely separate, because they're talking about the same issues. What we've mentioned so far is the idea of Chanukah being an expression of our handling the Bria, because we will maintain our chen through Mesiras Nefesh. That's how we've understood the tikkun for the problem of Mila in Chanukah. However, there is another level that needs to be addressed, because the fact is that the pasuk says sheker achen ve'avol hayofi, so that if the Torah is made that ultimately chen is sheker, then something is very wrong. And historically speaking, that is well borne out. Because historically speaking, every time something of chen appeared, it was always destroyed. As the Medrash points out, only the good die young. And this is all the Bonav Shel Rochel herself died when, of course, she was 36 years old, which is connected to the same Neres of Hanukkah. Her children die youngest. The problems that we have all through the Midbar, the results of whatever imperfections there were in Yosef that create the ego, which is made out of Yosef's little piece of metal. The destruction of the Malchus Yisrael and its Malchus Yisrael, I'm saying, as opposed to Yehuda, and its immediate warping, specifically because of issues that related to their deeper involvement with the Bria overall. And even the idea of Hanukkah itself, which was a disaster, really, historically speaking. I mean, the internal strife and the breakdown of the Melucha of the Chashmonaim, which was almost immediate, and was a tremendous failure in terms of their dreams. It was an independence that was only a quasi-independence. It wasn't real. We were never successful in building up that Beis HaMikdash into a final Beis HaMikdash. It collapsed. All of these things are indications that there is something is missing in Hanukkah because of what's missing generally in Chen. And in that sense, it would be right to see how Hanukkah is not only an expression of Chen, but being as Chazal said that Hanukkah is also a day which will never be bottled, it must also be a zman of tikkun of chen. Must be a time when things happen that make chen non-sherker. And even if it wasn't able to prove itself immediately, apparently it is the mocker, if it'll never be bottled, it is the mocker of tikkunim that come ultimately. So we have to see where it is that it lies in Hanukkah to be mesaken sheker achen. We would expect to find it in Hanukkah for a very simple reason. Since it says sheker achen, the reason for sheker is because sheker ain lo raglayim. Well, we know that Hanukkah is a regel, and therefore would certainly be a first step towards being mesaken whatever is missing. If something is sheker only because it has no feet. So if you supply it with its feet, it's no longer sheker. So the first step in supplying it with feet is the Midah of Hod. The next is Purim, of course, and the two of them are actually pairs, Purim and Hanukkah. But now, on this level, for the first time we deal with Or, in the most basic appreciation of Or. Until now we've been talking about Or very as something which shows itself through something else and therefore enlightens that which it is the Or of. And in that sense we can call it Hod. Because it isn't light per se, it's the light that is Nizgala in a particular thing. I think it's important to indicate in the two earlier levels, A and B, we really confuse the issues of Or and Hod. Now, they're not really the same. But what we were saying is that Or, the light that we are Zoche to, in Hanukkah, is a light which is an expression of a deeper internal reality of a thing than what Yovan would have seen in it. Be it the philosophical level of what everything means, or be it even the reality of our experiencing things because of their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However you want to express it, but it's
like insight.
It's a light that comes from the thing. It's a deeper gilui of the thing. That's why it's called the Or HaGanuz, because the Or is hidden within the thing that you're looking at. And therefore it's more Hod-like because it's an expression of the thing. And it's its own personal glory, rather than just the chefza of light. Now, light itself is not dependent on the thing. On the contrary, what we ought to look for, if we're talking about the idea of Or, I mean, because after all, the Neros light up the room so we see other things. What we talk about when we talk about aura is not the aura itself, it's not the light bulb, it's that now the room becomes light because there's light there, and Mamela we can see other things with the light. So the light itself is a very abstract thought. It doesn't relate to any particular thing. And I think on this level, let's call this level C, on this level, when we talk about the aura of Chanukah, for the first time we can talk about aura as aura, meaning that now what we want to achieve is an awareness. There's plenty of other tapes that it's not working. But what we want to achieve is awareness. So aura in the sense of not an internal recognition of what something is, but rather the ability to see things. In this sense, we will relate the idea of aura to ri'ya, to see, to become aware of things. And if so, it makes sense that the ri'ya of Chanukah would provide also a regal. How is that? Because it says, Yiras Hashem Torah Omedes La'ad. Now, that means that Yira gives one the ability to stand, which is exactly what a Sheker Shein Lo Raglayim wouldn't have. True? And it means that the Riyah aspect must relate somehow to Yira Shemayim, when we're talking about Chanukah. So that would explain also why it says, Isha Yiras Hashem, he tis Hallel. In other words, the Hallel is a result of a true awareness of external reality. So that in this sense, whereas Yovan will not be aware of external reality, since everything is mevusis on their own desire to see, everything can only be seen through whatever it happens to be, whatever the lenses are that you're wearing. It's only an expression of your own prejudice. Whereas Chanukah, the Nitzachon of Torah Sheba'al Peh, means that there is an awareness of external reality, which is what Yira is. It's a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, not as something that I would like to have, and not as something that provides me with security, and not as something that I project my own feelings of what God ought to be like and how he should be reacting and so on and so forth, but rather as something which is real as I am, and therefore requires me to respond to it, which is what Chanukah is. It's a response. It requires me to respond to it because it's there. In that sense, the Hallel itself is an expression of Or. And here we find that the word Hallel means Or, because the word Hallel is the word Hey Lamed, is Behilo, or Hillel ben Shachar. These are Hilo ben Shachar means the light of the morning. And therefore the word for, or Behilo, Nero Behilo sim, the light, or in English, halo, which is an expression of light. In English it's more connected to Hod, halo. But nonetheless, the Shorish is the same. That Hallel, in the sense of praise, and Hallel in the sense of the ability to be aware of seeing things, really comes from the same Macher. So now, for the first time, we see that the things which appear to be totally unrelated, which is Or and Hallel, are actually the same thing. What Hallel is the Hodah, is the result of the Hodah of the Or that I'm seeing. By recognizing this reality, I accept it, which is what Hodah is, and am Mahalal it. In other words, I become myself an expression of that Or, because it's external, it's not something that is within me. It's something that I see honestly outside and that I can respond to. Therefore,
you say I become an expression.
Yes. By being Mahalal, I also shed light. Right? There's a deeper level where this becomes clearer. But even on this level it's a more subtle thought, but I'll try to explain it better. Here, the main idea of Chanukah is it's being a regal, because it provides for independence. That is the main thing that a rego must provide for. It has to give you the ability to stand on your own. That's what the most essential thing of a rego is, standing on your own. And therefore, and in this level, it's the independence per se that is the tikkun for the ra that is involved in the sheker of chen. How is this? First I'll explain why independence is a tikkun, then I'll show why it is independent. How is independence a tikkun? Very simply. Because the less independent the organism is, the less chance there is for a real relationship. In other words, the deeper the separation of the people in a relationship, the deeper the relationship can be. The more somebody enters in a relationship in order to supply that which he doesn't have, the less honest and long-lasting the relationship will be. The more mature the parties are to a relationship, the deeper the relationship is. Even though the passion in the relationship may be an expression of needs, and therefore the more someone is adolescent, the more passionate the relationship is, but it's also, by the same token, not long-lasting and not real. It's infatuation rather than an expression of true relationship. The more mature the individual is, that is to say, the more clear-cut is his concept of his selfhood and his willingness to stand on that selfhood, the more real is his ability to accept someone else's existence and relate to it in a way that it's not defining it in his own terms, which is a lie, but rather accepting it for what it is and caring for it as what it is, which is the truth. Therefore, Yiras Hashem requires tremendous maturity. Because Yiras Hashem is essentially the expression of independence in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as someone looks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence as a projection, I need someone to support me, or I need someone to approve of me, whatever else is involved in the psychological need for inventing God, then of course there's no relationship. There's no relationship with a projection. There's no relationship with something on which you've created in order to satisfy your dependency. That's not God, that's your creation. And therefore, it isn't seeing something which is external to you, it's simply a projection of what you are. The moment that you are mature, then you can see that which is outside without its being nogea, how you would have liked it to be. That is what Yiras Shamayim is. You don't say, well, since I need this, I'm sure God won't care. Right? In other words, it's not, I develop a God who doesn't care about X since I don't care about X. I mean, I'm saying in the most simple sense. You're in the sense of fear, even to do an avera. Since I don't care about this avera, of course the God that I've projected doesn't care about this avera. Right? That's the most simple sense. But in a deeper sense, there is no God at all if there's no Yira, because it's not God that I'm relating to, it's myself. And that is an obscenity, in a sense, because it's taking that which is holiest and destroying it. And remember that the danger of chen, the danger of loving the Bria and being involved in it, is always the danger of making it simply a projection of yourself, because the more you care about it, and the more you need and desire the relationship to it, the more possible it is that all that you're going to do is make creations of yourself in order to satisfy yourself and sit there and stare in a mirror. And so the or that we're saying here is that what Chanukah demanded in the historical sense and what it gives us in the Avodah sense is the ability to respond to an external situation as a reality. There reaches a point where you can no longer say, and you know something, we'll manage to live with that, and we'll manage to live with that, and we'll manage to live with that, because we'll constantly redefine what it is that we need in order to live. There reaches a point where you finally get to the breaking point, where, you know something, I can't go on like this. This is not the kind of thing I could tolerate. Because it isn't what I'm pretending that it is. It's not a world that a Jew can live in anymore. And at that point, there's a reaction. That reaction is forced upon you by a recognition of external reality that intrudes upon what you would like, And at that moment, if you are willing to fight, and there is a Mesiras Nefesh, then that gives you an everlasting power to see what is out there. And seeing what is out there means that for the first time you can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as what he is. And that's why Yira is Ria, rather than as what you would like him to be. So the Mesiras Nefesh of Chanukah also leads one to an understanding of objective reality. And in this level, Torah Shebaal Peh now becomes our experimental way of checking external reality. We will not define things the way we would like them to, because we have Yesodos to tell us how they must be defined. And therefore, the Torah provides us with a certain check on reality and forces us to see things in the way that the Torah wants us to see them, rather than in the way we would like to see them, although we are using as much creativity in terms of our thinking. But we have clear-cut experimental mode of checking, is what I'm saying right or wrong? Well, let's see what would have been the implication in this din, and what would have been the implication in that din, and let's see whether it makes sense. And so, on this level now, the main idea of Chanukah would be the fight for truth, and that's Shevet Levi always, Chagor Charbacha, a Yerach Gibor, Yerach here being Keneged Amida of Hod, and that's why it's a deeper expression even of Mila, that's the same Chagor Charbacha, a Yerach. It's in the sense of being aware of external reality. It's a tikkun for chen, not just an expression of chen, because it provides an independence and maturity that enables Klal Yisrael to utilize chen, and because of that, it gives us what we said level 2 is for. It gives us the ability to utilize, to appreciate, and to express ourselves in that particularly Yisrael fashion, which is madbik the Briya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. So it's not a completely different perspective than level B is, but it's a deeper perspective within level B. I'll stop here because I see it's too much for one time. But there's one more deeper expression of level B, one level lower. There's a third level within level B, and that is, if we take a look at the idea of bris per se. In other words, until now we've been talking about that the gzera neged mila was a gzera in terms of how we relate. And then we said that until chen is an expression of how we relate. That was the basic premise of level. Then we said that we can be misakin, how we relate. It can be mechuyev through some kind of external demand. In that sense, bris, of course, is the external demand on our relationship. But there's a deeper sense in which bris also is not simply a demand on our relationship. It's a treaty. Remember, the idea of bris represents an inclusiveness, an overall inclusiveness to us. In other words, it structures a relationship. It provides an environment for a relationship. It provides a structure for within what parameters is it that we relate. In that sense, bris is not simply a commitment that I'm going to do this and this, just like in a bris between nations. One way of looking at the bris is that they signed a non-aggression treaty. So each one is committed to doing this. But a deeper level of bris is that they signed a treaty. In other words, they are now working together at something. They're Bali Bris NATO, let's say, right, is the way we would talk about it. That means not only that they're not going to fight each other, but it also defines some kind of broader reality that we're all part of. I may be the US of A, but when it comes to a question of fighting the Soviet Union's attack on Europe, I'm one of the B'nai Bris that will fight that attack, right? That puts a completely impersonal mode on what it is that I'm doing, not only because I've committed myself not to allow myself to take over, but because I'm working within a context that goes beyond my own personal concerns. On that level of Hanukkah, what it is that I'm doing is an expression of things that go beyond the personal simply because of the level of concern. Not only because I've committed myself to care more, not only because I'm afraid, or not only because I'm simply aware of external reality, but rather because what it is that I'm doing is transcendent to the particular situation I'm involved in. I'm concerned all of a sudden for history. I'm concerned all of a sudden for the entire Ummah. I can no longer tolerate the situation where we're in Golis in our own land. However you want to define the emotions that welled up at the time of the rebellion of the Hashmonaim. But the point is that what was happening was an expression not only of external reality because of the external logistics and the force of circumstance, but rather was an expression of external reality because it was also a transcendent reality. It was a reality that went beyond the pettiness of my own concerns, which lead me, and here you see how each level is done, which leads me now to an ability to see things impersonally and therefore as they are, which is the maturity that is required for me to be able to relate when I can relate on a personal level, which is therefore, getting back to level A, the way in which I would be able to understand the Bria and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of my hanhaga and my fighting and my commitments and so on and so forth. So this is really five layers down, right? I mean, four layers down, this particular point. So all the explanations are the same. In other words, the or is the same, the bris is the same, it's a little bit deeper. The gzera that we're coming against to be misgaber over is the same gzera. The chinuch aspect is basically the same. Relationship aspect is the same. The yaft is the same. The tzion is the same. The mishkan involvement is the same. The tahira becomes a little bit clearer because now you understand that if we're talking about objectivity, then tahira is a prime requirement, and that's why tahira has become such a major issue suddenly in Hanukkah, an issue that we've ignored until now, because tahira happens to be in need of the shemen that was Torah because he couldn't use it. But that isn't really true, because you can use shemen, which is tamei, if the tzibur is using it. And so we're dealing with tahira as a particularly Hanukkah issue. It had to be Torah because it was Hanukkah. It didn't have to be Torah because you needed Torah shemen.
Is the makor disgusting?
Later. Later. That becomes more clear on a further level. You guys want to go weiter? You want to?
Yes.
You sure? It's getting late. Some people are sleeping. The handyman's falling asleep.